the wind is from the south. It's blowing hard. We keep CJ here. Hey, glad to hear CJ. We said goodbye to you last Sunday, and he's here this Sunday, and I go like, are you going to be here next Sunday? Let's just get to have you here. And that's why he's here, is just, I don't know why, but I'm glad you're here. I think it's the last Sunday for Cheryl. Meyer is going to be leaving. Her daughter is going to be driving her back down to Yuma, Arizona. We've got others that are probably planning on taking off here shortly or next month to go south. Some to Florida, some to Texas, some to Arizona. So we have a lot of places, Sharon, to go on vacation. We go to three different states down south. Good to have everybody here this morning. And if you have come to Harbor of Joy for the first time or just kind of checking us out type of a thing, a special welcome to you. We're just glad that you're here. And as you see in the bulletin, tells a little bit about who we are as a church. We're just interested in getting to know you. And if you're looking for a church home, this is a good place, I believe, that you can feel at home in. And we're glad that you're here with us this morning. A happy belated birthday to Karen Dockin. I know I sent you a text on the day of your birthday, but you weren't here, and we couldn't figure out if we should sing happy birthday to you or not, but I said, well, happy birthday, Karen. Welcome back.
I was very hurt because I was listening on Sunday and saying happy birthday to Mr. Burr, but you didn't sing it to me.
Yep, sorry. So, but she's planning on being with us next year sometime. She's not sure, but she would like to definitely come to Harbor of Joy. And so we look forward to her coming, whenever that may be. Just a couple of things what's happening next Sunday. Two things happening next Sunday. One is we have our semi-annual congregational business meeting that follows right after the morning worship service. And then there's also going to be a little fundraiser for Mark and Tammy Ebel. We've been praying for Tammy for months, and she's still in the hospital in St. Sioux Falls, and she's had a couple of transplants. She's had a kidney transplant and a liver transplant, and she's on a ventilator, the last I heard, type of a thing. But she's been making a little progress here and there. It's kind of like a roller coaster. You go up, and then you come down. And so we just want to just let them know that we're praying for them and thinking of them. And so next Sunday, if there is something that you would like to give towards, it will definitely be of a big help to them. And sometimes it's just a thought. You know, it might not always be the amount. It's just, hey, these people thought of us while we were here in the hospital. And that goes sometimes a lot longer ways than what is given financially, type of thing. But that's between you and the Lord. That opportunity is there for you to minister to them in your gift next Sunday. And so keep that in mind, because this week, what's going on, Bob?
Whose birthday? I'm a little bit behind. Let's start over again.
I was just checking on this. See if you're following along here. Choir practice starts this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. For those of you that want to be in the choir, it's a little musical they're putting together for Christmas in December. And that starts this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. If you can't be here at 7 o'clock this Wednesday, Bob will be more than glad to meet with those who would like to, you know, go over parts or whatever it is on Thursday at 9:30 in the morning on Thursday. So just keep that in mind. And also on Thursday, that's why I got this box up here, Operation Christmas Child. We're going to be putting the boxes together. And the more people there are, the quicker it's going to go. We're only doing about, what, 75?
Karen? We have so many generous donations that I'm not sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but thank you for what you've done, like, for 5 years, right? This is your last year. Shark fishing and those kind of things. So the gecko is there to greet you when you get back. But we miss you when you're going to be gone. But Carol's the one that's been doing this for a number of years. And so if you're able to be here this Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, please come and we'll put it all together as we've done in the past. And we're going to do something different next year, I believe.
I think it's just a wonderful opportunity to share the love and hope of Jesus with children in impoverished areas and give them hope. Patty shared a beautiful devotion from a lady who grew up in Ukraine and received a shoebox as a child in an orphanage. And she said it changed her life. It brought light into her life. And she's forever grateful. That's what we can do.
Yeah, it's a good thing you just took off like you did, because I was going to bring the mic up.
Oh.
Because our people who are on Zoom can't hear what anybody says.
Sorry.
So if you've got something to say from here on out, and if you start and I come up with a mic, it's because people on Zoom cannot hear what you're saying. And we want them to hear what you're saying. Right, Mom? She's watching here today, too. So. At any rate, that's kind of some of the things that are going on this week, and I'm just going to let you know as well, just hi from Dave and Jan Conway. Dave is, he just misses coming here, but he just, he's getting a little stronger, and it's just going to take some time, and hopefully they will be back. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they come some Sunday, but he's on dialysis. And then Madeline, how's she doing?
She's home right now.
She got home?
Yeah.
Last week she was in the hospital with a little white cell count. So she's back home. That's good. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be treatment after treatment. Yeah. Just want to thank you from Bob and myself. Bob would like to talk to you about that, but he doesn't know where he's at. You are here at Harbor Joy, Bob.
I'm joking.
Okay. But thank you so much for the pastor's appreciation that you did for us last Sunday. I did not expect that, and I never expect that. And it just, you guys, I just say, cut it out. Just stop those kind of things. Appreciate you very much to begin with. I'm glad, we are glad to be your pastors. Bob says, I'm not really a pastor. I go, yes, you are. He goes, no, they just know me by Bob. Nobody says Pastor Bob. So, you know, he's the one that said to give me hugs last week. Today, you tell him Pastor Bob.
Well, I'm waiting for the hugs.
So, but that's, you can read the other announcements that are in your bulletin today. And we do thank just a lot of people. We thank. So praise the Lord, things in your bulletin as well. I think a great Wednesday night with Jeff Kyle here talking about his ministry down in Mexico. Couldn't spell the place where he goes, but it's called Guaymas, but it's not spelled like that at all. And then thanks, Dean, so much for just making those Wednesday night fellowships like only you can. No? Can you hear me? He doesn't have his hearing aids. And I don't know why you're sitting next to the honoriest guy in Iowa, but it's good to know. It's Dean who is the honoriest guy.
You got to separate those two.
Got it. Let's have more of a prayer together, shall we? Heavenly Father.
Tim, before we, can I just make a quick plug for Trunk or Treat?
Oh,
yes. We need candy and we need trunks. And we need people to have trunks. and to bring, you know, to be there. And we are going to go from 5 to 6:30 on Halloween night. And that would be great if we could have you all, when you're doing your shopping this week, pick up some candy and drop it off. I was going to say Bob's office, but that would be kind of dangerous. So maybe Charlie's, I don't know, you know, whose ever door is open or whatever, or Tim's door. That could be dangerous too, maybe.
Yeah, I love chocolate. But that reminds me, thank you, don't come in your swimming trunks.
Swimming trunks?
Yeah.
No, that would be scary.
This reminds me that today the reports for our business meeting next Sunday are available. Take one per family, and then also bring it back next Sunday because there aren't extras type of a thing. So read through, got questions, bring them up next Sunday. And meetings are never really that long, but they might be this year. You never know. But more like than that. So keep that in mind. They're back there by the table to the sound system there. Let's have a word of prayer before we turn it back to the praise man. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the joy that we find here from Sunday to Sunday. We thank you for being able to hear laughter, be able to just see the smiles on people's faces when they come here to church. And we're thankful, Lord, too, that very few head out the front door after church. And that's a real blessing, to be able to have people sticking around and having coffee. And even if they don't want to have coffee or don't want anything sweet, it's still just visiting. And we need that. We really need that kind of fellowship together. And so, Lord, thank you for what we have here. We sometimes don't know what that is like until it's gone, and we pray that that will never, ever happen here, but we never know what may take place in the future, and we put that in your hands. So, Lord, come and minister to hearts here today. You know every heart. You know who's got things going on that only you can take care of, and we can pray for it. We can encourage. But only you, Lord, can really do the fixing and the mending and all that kind of stuff. And so we just uplift to you, Lord, before your throne of grace, those that are in the prayer requests in our bulletin here today. And there's others, Lord, that have requests or things going on that are not listed in there. But you know who they are and you know what it is. And so I use this time this morning, Lord, as a way where we come close to the cross of Jesus Christ. And may you do a work here today that only the Holy Spirit can do in drawing us to that cross. And there's someone here, Lord, that needs to have a relationship with you, needs to be saved. May they, whoever it may be, just say from their heart, Lord, I need you today. I need to know that I'm saved today. And you will. You will come through as you always do. We pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen. responsive reading today comes from a guy by the name of Graham Kendrick, entitled King of the Nations. Come, let us worship Jesus, King of Nations, Lord of all.
Magnificent and glorious, just and merciful.
Lavish our heart's affection, deepest love and highest praise.
Voice, grace, and language for you, all the world amazes.
Bring tributes from the nations. Come in joyful cavalcades. Okay, we're going to stop there. Who's ever heard of cavalcades? Can anyone tell me what a cavalcade is? Who has not talked about this before with me or with Bob? What is a cavalcade?
Caravan.
Who said that? Close. It's very, very close. I'll even give it to you. She said a caravan. It means a procession, a joyful procession is what a cavalcade is. One that would be done hundreds of years ago as they would be on horseback in a procession. And we've kind of seen that with Queen Elizabeth II. There was a cavalcade of with her in her funeral. Okay, cavalcade. Thank you. I was going to give you $5, whoever knew what it was, but I didn't say $5 today, but you could have gotten that to Angie today. Let's go on. Come, Lord, and fill your temple. Glorify your dwelling place.
The nations see your splendor and see your grace.
Fear God and give him glory, for his hour of judgment comes.
Creator, Lord Almighty, worship him alone.
Jesus, King of the Nations.
Jesus, Lord of all.
Song of the Month, King of Kings.
Bring the dawn.
the King of Kings. Praise band can be seated, or you can stand, because I'm going to invite everyone to stand if you can. As we look at our text today, it comes from 2 Timothy. It's in the New Testament, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Chapter 4, 1 through 8 of 2 Timothy. Now, my real name is not Timothy, just so you know that. It's Tim. It goes way back when I was 7 years old. I fell off a Shetland pony and broke my arm. Compound fracture. The arm was like this. And as they put me under, the doctor's wife was in the emergency room, turning, you know, putting that hose down your nose to turn on the ether. You know what I mean? And she said, yeah. Come on now, Timothy, just relax and let me put this nose down your nose. And I said, I'm not Timothy! My name is Tim! You know, it's the only time I've ever been really confronted and combative. When I was 7. So we're at Timothy. 2 Timothy 1 through 8. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead? And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words here to us today from the Apostle Paul. They are words that definitely ring loudly here today. And he had no idea what he was saying because he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he wrote and penned these words. For people of his day, things were going on there too, but not at all like today here, 2,000 years later, close to that. So use these words in our lives here this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 2 Timothy is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote before he died. And typically, the last words you hear of someone before they die are pretty important to you. And I think of this, I think of a man by the name of Leonard Cavley, who took me bullhead fishing many, many years ago, and it was on some rocks. And he said, be careful, because you can get your hook caught in those rocks, and then you're going to have a tough time getting it out of there without breaking the tip of the rod. And I go, yeah. I threw it out there, and I got hooked on the rock, and sure enough, I got stained. And I would pull hard, really hard, and he says, you're going to break that tip of that pole. Of course, it was his pole. And I said, no, I'm not either. I got to get it out somehow. And I pulled it. Guess what happened? The tip broke. And he goes, well, that's the end of our fishing. And I go, really? Well, you broke the tip of my pole off. And really brought two poles. And I said, well, can I have the bullheads to put in my garden, the ones we did catch? He just said, silly person you are. Go ahead, take them and put them in your garden. Well, Leonard, later on, not too much later, got cancer. I went to visit him in the hospital in Minot, North Dakota, and I took with me a brand new rod. Just to surprise him. He's going to have surgery the next day. They said, Leonard, here I got you a new pole. And he said, you shouldn't have done that. I said, well, I just thought it would be a good thing because I broke the tip off your other one. He just kind of laughed as he's laying there in his bed. And then I started crying because I wanted to pray for him, which I did. I prayed for him, and the tears were coming out of my eyes. And then he said this to me. He said, Tim, don't cry for me. Cry for those who are perishing, those who aren't going to heaven. And those were the last words I heard from him, because he didn't make it through surgery. And he died the next day. I think of my dad. Last words I heard from him was, I received Jesus into my heart. And I said, Dad, I never thought I'd ever hear you say those words. And he said, no, I just wanted you to know that. I said, well, thanks for telling me. That means a lot. And those were the last words I heard from my dad. So you have a tendency to hang on to those words. The last words you hear from someone. I remember Dwayne Anderson saying, Tim, I love you. As I walked out of his room. Those were the last words I heard Dwayne say. And those are very special words. So when you think of 2 Timothy, this is the Apostle Paul who is really writing down his last words before he, too, dies in Rome under Nero, who is the Caesar of Rome, of the Roman Empire, and it is Caesar who gives the order to have Paul beheaded in Rome. And so before he dies, he pens 2 Timothy. And you can, as you read 2 Timothy, I mean, you can just, it just drools. It just speaks about this is the last time he has to say what he's going to say to his special friend, who's Timothy. It's not his real son. It's his spiritual son. He's always had a close relationship with. And Timothy now is in Ephesus, as a pastor in the church in Ephesus, and Paul writes these things to him as well as to many other pastors. So it's an old pastor passing the baton to a younger pastor and saying, remember these things as you continue in the ministry. And then you can pass it on to somebody else, which we have here before us today. So Paul, as he's in prison, and this is in 67-68 AD, he pens this letter, and what is he thinking about at the end of his life? You find it here in chapter 4. The beginning verses here just says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, which goes along with our Apostles' Creed. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I'm giving this charge. So he's thinking about eternity and what he is going to see for the first time through the eyes of faith. He's going to be with Jesus and in heaven with him. Now, did Paul always believe in Jesus? No. He was known as Saul of Tarsus. He did not believe in Jesus. He was a guy that went out and persecuted the early Christian church. He rounded up men and women, put them in jail for being Christians, because they followed the one who who said at the time that he rose again from the dead. And he'd go to different places on his way to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, it's where he's blinded by a light. And he hears the voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And it's the voice of Jesus Christ speaking to him on that road. He's blinded. He's led by a hand into Damascus, where he goes to the home of Ananias, who is a believer. And Ananias reluctantly doesn't really want him in his house, because he knows what he's done to those who are Christians, and Ananias is a Christian. But the Lord told Ananias, "Pray for Saul, and he'll receive his sight." And he did pray for him, and Saul did receive his sight. And later on, he becomes known as Paul. He has a name change. I kind of wonder what that conversation must have been like when he went back to Jerusalem to kind of talk to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Sanhedrin, of saying, like, "Well, I was your number one guy going out and capturing these Christians, but I just want you to know that I became a believer myself. And I will be not doing your dirty work anymore." He was present there with Stephen, the first Christian martyr that we have in the book of Acts. It was Saul that was standing there by the clothes of Stephen. And he approved of what was going on as they killed him by stoning. So we have before us someone who was not a believer at one time, but now, as he writes, he is. After a number of years as being a pastor and starting churches and writing to the Ephesians and different places of the books of the New Testament, who wrote probably about over half of the New Testament. And so now, as he comes to the end of his life, he also sees, and he's looking forward to, the kingdom of God, that he will be there shortly. But he wants to write to Timothy and to give him this charge. You know, a charge is something that you have at graduations, that you kind of tell the class that graduates, like, now when you graduate, now this is, we encourage you to do this wherever you go. And it took you a while to get to this point of graduating from this class. And now we just give you some words of wisdom as you leave this school and you go on to either college or some other kind of a vo-tech school, or don't go to college at all, but you got a job waiting for you somewhere else. Who knows? But here's the charge. And so the Apostle Paul says this to Timothy. Preach the word. Everything depends on the Word of God. Don't lose the Word of God. Preach it. Be like an evangelist. Do you know what an evangelist is? You know, they used to be pretty well known years ago. You'd have evangelists that would come to your church, and you'd invite the neighbors to say, "Hey, we got special meetings. We got a guy coming that's a great speaker, and we invite you to come with." And people would go and pack out the church. It doesn't work that way anymore at all. Now, if you mention the word evangelist, it's almost like a dirty word. People don't even want to hear an evangelist. Yeah, but an evangelist is someone who specifically has a gift of persuading people that they need Christ in their life. They're the ones that will say, "I want you to respond to what you heard here this evening. And to do so, just stand where you are, or raise a hand, or blink your eye, or scratch your nose." The evangelist just kind of likes to know how you responded, as a way of to encourage you and then also to just pray with you. Does that still happen today? Not very often, if ever. But this is what is on Paul's heart as he comes to the end of his life, and he sees himself that he's in the presence of God. He's the judge. He's going to be judged, as every one of us will be judged, by the judge who will do it rightly. No favoritism, but who will judge rightly. And all will stand before him, you and I, and give an account of our lives to him. The biggest question will be, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Do you believe in him? And of course, God already knows your heart. You can't change it there, say, like, wait, I have to do that. Because you know that that's the right answer. But he knows that you've dealt with the son Jesus. Paul tells Timothy that the time will come when people will not want to hear the truth. They want to hear what their itching ears want them to hear. They want to hear what they want to hear. It's not what they need to hear, it's what they want to hear. I don't want to be a pastor like that. Just to tell you what you want to hear. I want to tell you what's of the truth, what the truth of the Bible is. You need to hear the truth. I don't always like it, but I need to hear it. You know, when you think of a dog, I don't want anyone to think I'm thinking of you as a dog. But you think of a dog, what does a dog like to do when it comes next to you? You kind of scratch behind its ears. Now, don't go scratching in the ear. But the dog just loves it if you just kind of put your hand on their head and just kind of scratch behind their ears, and they just love it. And they'll be there as long as you can do that. We know how to treat a dog. And sometimes we're not very good at just telling people the truth, what they need to hear. Because people today want to hear everything but the truth, it seems, in a way. It says that they will reject God's word. And if you reject God's word, well, then you don't know who God is. Or God will be whoever you want him to be. I think that's a pretty strong majority that likes that today. Whatever is your God, let that be your God. And don't let anyone tell you different. I want the truth. I don't want a lie. I don't want something that's false. I want the truth. The only place where we know who God is and what he's like is in the Bible. Because that's why it's called God's word. It still is the truth. Even if people today say, oh, it's just a piece of literature, it's folklore, it's something that was done, it's an ancient book, it doesn't really apply to today, I just say, baloney. God has never failed in anything that he has said in his word through the centuries and even today. It may sometimes sound a little archaic, a little old, out of place, out of touch. But guess who's out of place and out of touch? It's me. People are out of touch with who God is. But people will reject God's word. They'll want to make God to be the kind of God that they want, because sometimes you hear, well, the reason people don't come to church or go to church is because they don't want to be judged or condemned. Well, there's some things that we need to be judged on. There's some things where we need to know that I have failed God. And with that failure, then I have sinned. I need to ask God to forgive me of my sin. I may have to go and ask somebody else that I've offended, forgive me. Because that does not come naturally. But people like to hear what they want to hear. What are some of those things that you'd like to hear, that people like to hear today? Everybody goes to heaven. It's okay to go to heaven as you go to church. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. There's going to be a lot of good church-going people who are going to end up in hell. Because they wanted to have nothing to do with Jesus in their lives. And they heard many sermons, they heard many speakers, but never responded by faith. Just like the apostle Saul, Paul, it's called Saul before, he had heard about Jesus many times. He knew about Jesus, but he didn't know him personally. And not until he knew him personally did that change his life. And that goes for us too. You can have all the head knowledge you want, but it's got to be in the heart. That's what will change you. It says that people will find teachers and those who will support their own ideas about God. It's like birds of a feather flock together. There's something that I don't like that's in the Bible. I'm going to find some other theologian, some other pastor, some other bishop, whatever it is, that's going to tell me this is what is right and this is what you should believe. And we're not like the Bereans. The Bereans in the book of Acts were those that when they heard a pastor preach, and this is what I encourage you to do as well. When you hear me preach, look in the Bible and see if what I'm telling you is true, if it's really there or not. Don't assume what I'm saying to you is the truth. I would love to have somebody come up and say, well, I heard what you said, and I don't know where you found that. I don't know where you found that. Well, then I'll be challenged. I'll go like, well, I'll show you where I found that. Or we can go and look at that. But people will find others that will agree with them. And we see that happening a lot today. Over a lot of different things that where God says is not right. People who forget the word of God or go in a different direction will be people who will want to listen to myths, things that are false. And that's what Paul tells Timothy. They'll be teachers to say what their itching ears want them to hear, and then they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Myths are something that just aren't true. Myths are false. Do you want to live a life on something that's false? Do you want to live a life that's on something that's true? Bedrock, our truth. Jesus is the rock. You can build your foundation, your house on the foundation, your spiritual life on the solid rock, who is Christ, the Word, or you can build it on sand. Your choice. So some of the things that people like to hear today are what they will be like. We look at 1 Timothy, the 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It gives you a little bit of an idea of what it's going to be like at the end days, the end times. You go to the third chapter of 2 Timothy, verses 1 through 5, gives you another idea of what it's going to be like before Jesus comes. And I want to tell you here today, my friends, that what you read here in the scriptures, it's already here. It's already happening. It's been going on for quite some time. And when he used to say, you know, it can't get any worse than this, guess what? It does. It gets worse. And that's the times that we live, that's the time that we are living in now. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. And a lot of times it's because God is being removed from our lives. Slowly, subtly, but surely. Our country is not the same today as it was 50 years ago. It comes down to humanism, a lot of isms, atheism, communism, socialism, globalism, a one world government, a one world leader, a one world church, a one world currency. We find that there could be an unholy trinity that's taking place. We find that in the book of Revelation that tells us about the end of the world. You've got Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. That's the unholy trinity that you read about in the book of Revelation. But it'll be in other places in the Bible as well. I find it in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. You'll find it in Thessalonians. You'll find it in the Gospels, what it's going to be like at the end. So, now, have you ever heard of the word transhumanism? It's like part robot, and yet you're human. This kind of study is going on today. They want humans to be part robot, to be controlled, and to do amazing things that you cannot do if you just stayed without that kind of thing happening to you. Transgenderism. Whoever would have thought we'd be dealing with that? Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. If you don't hear the word, then you are listening to your own desires and wants. You're not listening to God. You're listening to your own desires and wants. You're like a sheep who is wandering around without a shepherd. You're like a ship without an anchor, who will just move whichever way the wind blows, that's where you're going to go. But without an anchor, guess what's going to happen? Someday, somewhere along the way, you don't have an anchor, you're going to crash against the rocks. And life will do that. You need an anchor. Jesus wants to be that anchor. So our time is up today. I'm not going to go any further, which I could still. I'm just going to put it there. And maybe that will be a part two for this message. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in all of that has been said here this morning, it is the need that we need to hear is that we need Jesus Christ in our lives. We are trusting in Him. We are believing in Him. We may not always know what that is or what that means, but we can know for sure that we need Jesus as our good shepherd and as our anchor in the life in which we live in. And Lord, I realize that even what I shared here this morning, it would not go over well in a lot of churches today. Matter of fact, maybe a lot of people would even get up and just leave, not wanting to hear anything that was said like this today. So I thank you, Lord, for the bravery of those that stayed. There may have been some who thought of leaving, who did not. But we need Jesus in our lives. And so, Lord, may we look at your word to find out the answers to the questions that we may have going on in our lives today. Sometimes we think that God doesn't hear us when we pray to him. Well, the word tells us that God does hear, and he will answer. It's just that we're not very patient. And a lot of times it's hard for us in this busy world to be still and know that he is God, and I'm not. Help us to be still and to know that you are God.
that's here today. And we can trust you with that. And you will do what is necessary, or you will give the opportunity to those that are here today to either believe in you by faith or not. It doesn't have to be an altar call. It doesn't have to be a raising of hand. It doesn't have to be a standing up where you are. Because, Lord, you know. And so we can be thankful here today that you have spoken to us. And now we need to respond and come by faith and to trust in you. May our lives be different. Like Saul became a changed man, may we also become changed from the inside in our hearts to believe and to live for you. So may we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May you stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive this as a benediction today. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Amen.